Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we go one-on-one with the Attorney General of California, Rob Bonta. At this moment, when the Republicans control the White House, the Senate, the House, and have a conservative majority on the Supreme Court, the Democrats' only real hope right now to stop Trump is in the courts, especially in some of these lower courts. And that's where the state attorneys general step in. Bonta is the leader of the largest statewide Department of Justice in the country, and he is working together with all of the Democratic attorneys general in the country, talking every single day via Zoom about a joint strategy to sue the Trump administration. Many of their lawsuits so far have been successful, at least in temporarily stopping a lot of the more dramatic actions of the Trump administration. Whether that ends up being successful in the U.S. Supreme Court, we'll have to wait and see. But it is probably the most active space in the Democratic Party right now, and Bonta is the biggest leader of the biggest state in this group. And so we caught up with Bonta in Hollywood as he was bringing together a conference of all the Democratic attorneys general from the whole country. We had an extended time with him, probably the longest interview we've done with him, the most relaxed he's been in person, the most I've learned in one of these situations. It comes at a time when he had just announced that he is not running for California governor. We talked about that and his future and why he likes Kamala Harris and immigration and all the rest of it, and that sort of dynamic of what's going on with these states' attorney general. I learned a lot. I was really interested in this conversation. Initially, I didn't think it would be a whole show, but we went a lot longer than expected, and I liked it so much that I wanted to make it a whole show. So we got one guest this week, and here is that full conversation with California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
Attorney General Rob Bonta, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Thanks for having me. Always good to see you.
And good to see you in person. We do this too much on Zoom, so it's nice to see you in Southern California.
Likewise.
So you are the Attorney General of California at a time when Donald Trump is President of the United States. How do you see your role right now?
To help make sure that in California our progress prevails, we continue on the path of progress that we're on, that I'm doing everything to fight for my people, our values, our environment. There has been a pathway that has led us to being great, that led us to being the fifth largest economy in the world, and we want to stay on that path. And so we're not trying to pick any fights with the Trump administration, but if he and his administration get in the way of our progress, we'll certainly protect ourselves, we'll fight back, but we're on a path of progress, we want to stay on it, and it's my role, I think, to help us stay on that.
Yeah, there's some people that are here, you don't want to pick any fights with the Trump administration when you've designated $25, $50 million in advance of him even getting in there. It seems like you're ready to pick some fights.
Well, there's expectations about what he might do, and not based on speculation, but based on what he did during Trump 1.0. We sued him, my office did, 120 plus times. We won two-thirds of the time, meaning that he violated the law and needed to be checked by a court that many times. The only indications are that he's speeding up and violating the law even more in 3 weeks. We've brought him to court four different times, won every time. Within hours, courts have ordered him to stop the unlawful, unconstitutional conduct. So those dollars are there to make sure that we have a president that is lawful, constitutionally compliant, not a lot to ask. It also means real dollars for the state of California. Because of our lawsuits in Trump 1.0, we got billions of dollars more from the U.S. Census, for example, and getting the citizenship question off. There was an energy efficiency ruling that brought billions of dollars back to us, the same here as well. You know, we were able to stop $3 trillion in federal funding from being withheld by the Trump administration by one of our lawsuits. So this is real dollars, and the rule of law is our North Star, and the president should follow it.
When you say you won in court, you mean that you were able to stop his actions, right? Temporary restraining orders, right?
That's right.
And how do you, the pace, I mean, describe what the pace of what's happening has been like and sort of how you pick and choose what fight to even get involved in.
Yeah, pace is fast, we're busy, and we have capacity. We are not tapped out. We're ready for more, if more is to come. We're in good shape because we're working with our attorneys general from across the nation. We're a team. And we've been preparing for this moment for months. Looking at all the things that Trump has said he would do, his administration indicated he would do, what Project 2025 indicates he might do, and preparing for every possible action. That's why when the executive order on birthright citizenship was issued on day one, we were ready to file immediately and stop him in court, which we did within days. We already had the arguments prepared, the briefs filed, just needed to dot the I's, cross the T's, press print, and file. Some things are unexpected. The OMB memo that halted the $3 trillion in federal funding, not something that was necessarily that he telegraphed already, but we knew the arguments. We had seen moves like that before. We worked through the night and filed the next day and stopped him again. So whatever it is, we're ready, but we're moving fast. But we've got a big team with a lot of capacity and a lot of talent.
If you said that you studied what he telegraphed and you were ready for it, what do you think is coming next?
A couple things. We're ready for some action on sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. That's been telegraphed. There's sort of a dip of a toe in the water with some of the memos, the Bove memo, the U.S. Attorney General's memo as well. And we think that there might be some actions on LGBTQ plus rights and transgender rights. Certainly we're looking at the militarization of immigration enforcement as a potential area. Slashing of the Department of Education has been projected. That looks like that could be imminent. And of course, the Congress has the power of the purse. They decide how money is spent and what is appropriated, and the Trump administration and the executive branch can't change that.
So where we're sitting right now is where you are meeting with attorneys general from all over the state, Democratic attorneys general. Is it kind of like the Avengers? I mean, take us inside the room in terms of how you
Avengers assemble.
Yeah. How you are thinking about this and what you all are talking about privately.
Yeah, attorneys general from all over the country are coming. Democratic attorneys general. So, you know, New York, Illinois, Nevada, Delaware, and more. About half the states have Democratic attorneys general. We've been talking to each other for months leading up to the Trump administration. We've accelerated and increased the frequency of those talks after Trump's election and before the inauguration. We talk every day. So it'll be nice to see people in person that I saw on Zoom yesterday and the day before, just like you and I have seen
you
each
talk
other on Zoom.
As a group via Zoom every single day?
Every day.
Wow.
Every day. And it's important that we do because there are new actions taken every day, new developments. The situation has changed. Cases become ripe and they need our action. And so, and in the in-between times between the everyday assembling of all the AGs, our staffs are talking. We're talking in smaller groups. We're talking all the time. And it's important. It's necessary. It's the right thing to do. I think the people of this state, the people of this country deserve preparedness, readiness to uphold our Constitution and the rule of law. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody and continuing our conversations. And, sometimes people are seeing different impacts in their state. Mm-hmm. Some funding has been withheld. There's an immigration enforcement action. There's been a prosecution of someone who is in a sanctuary jurisdiction. And so those are all facts that help us decide what our next actions will be.
So when you all talk every day, do you decide like New York, you take this one, Illinois, you take this one? Yeah. I mean, how does that work?
That's part of it. Deploying our resources for maximum impact is part of it. Sometimes a certain AG's office has been an expert and has great institutional knowledge on a certain topic. Gun violence, for example, others on LGBTQ rights, others on immigration or environment. So we like the experts with the most knowledge, experience, and success in the past to take on those issues now. Sometimes workload is important to distribute in a way that's commensurate with resources. Mm-hmm. As our office is so big, we take on a disproportionate amount of the work, appropriately so. We're the biggest state Department of Justice in the nation. New York also takes on quite a bit. And that's appropriate and expected. So yeah, sometimes we say, Illinois, you lead. New York, you lead. California, you lead. Or California, New York, and Illinois, you lead together on this one. Yeah. Another group of states will lead on another one. But we think about the actions. We think about who will lead and how to deploy our resources for the best benefit of an impact on Americans.
So if this is the Avengers, what are the issues that California is leading on? I mean, what are that this is my thing. I'm taking to the team. This is my thing.
Gun violence has been a big one. Immigration, all things environment and climate. But we have been a lead. We're a lead on birthright citizenship. We're a lead on the Office of Management and Budgets pause on $3 trillion of funding. We've been a lead on nearly all these cases so far. So is New York. Again, that's because of the resources that we have, mm-hmm. the capacity that we have, the ability to absorb a lot of the work that's out there.
There are so many cases happening at the same time. Is there one where you just say, wow, that one just was really something?
I mean, a full frontal assault on the constitutional right of birthright citizenship on day one through an executive order where there's a process to amend the Constitution. If that's what you want to do, you can have a constitutional convention, you can get two-thirds votes in both houses of Congress, you can get three-fourths of the states to ratify. But he said, hey, I think I'll amend the Constitution with the stroke of the pen. Mm-hmm. That was kind of an indicator of where we're going to go from here. That was on day one of a four-year term. So, you know, the idea that he thought he was that he had not an inauguration but a coronation, that he's not a president but a king, that he can change the Constitution not through the delineated process but through one stroke of the pen, kind of told us a lot on day one. And it also told us that we must act right away, we must slap him down from this constitutional action immediately, and we did. And that's our system working. You go to the court, you get a remedy, you get a court order, you stop the unconstitutional action.
Ultimately, though, it will go probably to the U.S. Supreme Court, which now has a conservative majority, including three justices appointed by him.
Right.
Are you confident that that court will uphold birthright citizenship?
I am. On birthright citizenship, that's a clear case.
Yeah.
Clear as day. A Republican appointed federal judge appointed by Reagan saw the case and issued the first ruling. And he said, in four decades, I haven't seen a clearer case. He said, this is a blatant violation of the Constitution. He even questioned the U.S. Department of Justice attorneys, questioning their ability to come forward with these arguments and say them with a straight face. So the Supreme Court might have some conservative appointees. They are also sworn to uphold the law and the Constitution. Birthright citizenship is a clear constitutional right, and I believe it'll be upheld.
On the immigration issue, the Trump administration says their main focus is getting rid of violent criminals who are here illegally. What's wrong with that? And as a law enforcement guy, isn't that a good thing?
That's what they say. And
you don't believe them?
It's not a belief. It's his actions already disprove it in the first weeks and days. And I'll tell you more about that. But on anyone who commits a crime, regardless of your immigration status, you should be arrested, you should be prosecuted, you should be held accountable, whether you're documented, whether you're not documented, whether you're lawfully present or not lawfully present. And that's what sanctuary status is about, focusing on those who break the law and commit crimes and deploying resources towards that, not civil immigration enforcement. Mm-hmm. These deportation proceedings, they're not criminal, they're civil. So we want to focus on crimes and holding criminals accountable, regardless of your immigration status. Trump has said, that's his rhetoric, that's his pitch, that's his sales pitch, that he's focusing on immigrants, unlawful immigrants who are criminals. What has he done? He attacked birthright citizenship on day one. Those are citizens, U.S. citizens.
Right.
Not criminals, not even unlawful immigrants, but citizens. He's trying to strip away your right. He reversed a policy that Biden had on immigration enforcement in sensitive places. So now he's going to enforce in schools where students learn, in churches where the faithful pray, in hospitals where patients heal. Those aren't criminals.
Yeah.
He's also...
we haven't seen that actually happen yet. We'll see if it does.
Right, but it's part of the policy. And he went after refugee programs where people who are fleeing persecution and seeking refuge here, fleeing violence, often sided with American interests abroad. He undermined those programs as well. So he's not doing what he says, and that's the problem. All in on holding criminals, regardless of their immigration status, accountable.
But why not have California work with the federal government to get those people out of the country?
Well, we have a sanctuary state law. It's the law. It's been in law, the law since 2018, Trump 1.0. The federal government has the resources to do this. They have whole departments and agencies, including ICE, to do immigration enforcement. Mm-hmm. They can do their job. They should do their job lawfully. It's a very unremarkable proposition that the entity who's responsible for immigration enforcement should do their job, mm-hmm. and not that they take valuable, limited law enforcement resources away from law enforcement, mm-hmm. Holding criminals accountable, doing investigations, making arrests, doing prosecutions, to do their job for them. We want to focus on crime. And so states have the right to decide what we should focus on, how we deploy deploy our law enforcement resources. We seek to focus on crime, not on civil immigration enforcement.
Is Trump doing a good job on anything?
I mean, look, he won an election. And he won the popular vote against Kamala Harris, although more people voted for another candidate besides him than for him. I think he's overreaching in terms of what he thinks his mandate is. I think there's no mandate. I think there was people wanted change. I don't think they wanted consistent violations of the Constitution, consistent breaking of the law, ending of critical essential federal services and programs. But he was able to earn enough votes to win a presidential election. That's no small feat. And you know, I'm always hopeful for our presidents to do well. If they do well, then our country does well. But unfortunately, he's fallen down in a number of places that our actions have shown by holding him accountable in court.
And part of the reason I asked that is I was just with Governor Newsom earlier, and he said that he was just at the White House with the president, and they had a great conversation about rebuilding. He was impressed with him talking about this, that you know, California's going to need billions and billions of dollars from the Trump administration in order to rebuild. And is there some danger in going after him with some of this, that we may not get the money or the resources or the help we need from him because of some of these lawsuits?
I don't think so. You know, our position is we want a president that follows the law, that is law abiding, that complies with the Constitution. Not a lot to ask. And we will only act if we believe that you're not following the law. And we've been right every time so far. So we're not overreaching, we're not overstepping, we're just saying follow the law, follow the Constitution. I think most Americans would agree. Mm-hmm. If you ask them, should the president follow the law? Should the president comply with the Constitution? The answer would be yes. And we want to work with his administration on anything that we can. I plan to work with all of his U.S. attorneys that he appoints into the state of California and talk to them about fentanyl enforcement, talk to them about addressing human trafficking, mm-hmm. hate crimes, organized retail crime, anything else we can work on together mm-hmm. to keep our streets, our neighborhoods safe, to make sure Californians are and feel safe. Look forward to doing that. I think he should provide FEMA funding to Angelenos who have been hurt by these wildfires. Mm-hmm. It has been the time-honored tradition for the President of the United States to give that money swiftly, aggressively, help people heal, help them recover, without asking how that state voted in the election. Mm-hmm. Give the money. Don't condition it on anything. Don't condition it on voter ID. Mm-hmm. Don't condition it on water policy that has nothing to do with the LA fires. Give the money. Mm-hmm. And I will say now, and I'll say once he gives the money, should he do that, and I believe he will, that is a great thing to be doing, mm-hmm. the appropriate thing to do, and that we're grateful for it. Mm-hmm. I'd be grateful if he gave the money, and once he gives it, I'll be grateful that he gave it.
Let's talk for a moment about you and your future. There was a lot of speculation for a long time that you were going to run for governor, and you recently announced that you weren't, that you were going to run for re-election as attorney general. Why?
I love this job. It has always been super meaningful. I believe, with humility and humbly say, that the Attorney General of California is first among equals among many great attorneys general. We're the largest state. We have the biggest impact. We address every issue that's important to Californians. And then after Trump was elected, the LA wildfires hit. We had a critical role in tackling price gouging and mm-hmm. scams and frauds and helping people heal. And with the Trump administration, we're defending democracy, our Constitution, the rule of law. I think my role is as important as any AGs in the nation and you know, right up there with a lot of elected officials. Once you run for an office and get elected, you got to do the job. Mm-hmm. This job is calling me to be at my best, to give everything I have, use all gas in the tank, give my passion, my focus, my priority, my energy, and I want to give it to this. I don't want to be focused on another election. I don't want to put political or personal ambition over my duty to the state and its people. This is the most important moment and the most important job I've ever had, and I want to be present for it and do my best. And I think people of California want that, and I think they deserve it, and I'm going to give it to them.
Is part of the thinking that that Kamala Harris might run for governor?
I don't know if she will. If she will, I'll support her.
Would. So you would endorse her over everybody else
in
the field?
I'll endorse her right now. Yeah. If anticipating that she might run, she'll have my endorsement. I'll be the first one in line, and I think a lot of people will be behind me.
Why is that?
I've supported her since day one, as a San Francisco DA, as Attorney General of California. She had my job. We are fellow Californians. I'm proud to say I have her old job.
Right.
U.S. Senator, Vice President. I just think she is talented and skillful and represents what California needs and is best at. It represents our greatness. She is a generational talent, and could have served. Many wanted her to serve as the president of this country and the leader of the free world. She fell short, and we would love to have her in California, helping us tackle our challenges. We are great, and we are not perfect. And part of being great is knowing when we don't meet our lofty standards and working to improve them. We need to do more on cost of living. We need to do more on housing. We need to do more on public safety. She can help us with her leadership, with the resources that she can attract, the team she would build around her, her own great leadership. So I don't know what she'll do, but
do you think she's gonna run?
I decided before she made any decision.
Do you think she's gonna run?
I think it's up to her. I think more likely than not, but only she knows, and I don't have any inside information.
While we're handing out endorsements, do you endorse Gavin Newsom for president?
I think Gavin Newsom is absolutely amazing. I think he has every skill and talent. I think he could definitely be a great president. Okay. If he runs for president, I plan to support him.
Okay. And just broadly, in terms of this moment in politics as big picture, because obviously there were a lot of resistance strategies in Trump 1.0. And then the guy won again. He faced 91 criminal charges and still won. What do you think maybe was done wrong the first time that should be done differently this time if the goal is actually resistance?
The goal for me is not resistance. The goal is ensuring California's progress will prevail, making sure that we move forward on the track that we're on. If he doesn't get in the way of it, no problem. There's no resistance. There's no friction at all because we're in different paths. If he does get in the way, then we're going to have to figure out how we're going to move forward.
But are there lessons learned from the last time around that you can apply this time of things that maybe didn't work that you could do differently?
I think we should be more deliberate and intentional about working with his administration in the places where we can.
Yeah.
Thus my commitment to work with the U.S. attorneys. Thus Governor Newsom's visit both on the tarmac and to the White House to work with our president on this common problem of Americans who are also Californians being hurt by a natural disaster. That's good stuff. We can do other things to tackle fentanyl or common issues. Maybe there's some cost of living things that we can do. He says that that's important to him. It's important to me. There's a lot of common ground. I think we probably agree on more things than we disagree on broadly, not necessarily me and Trump or Mr. Newsom and Trump, but as leaders. Mm-hmm. We want a planet for tomorrow. We want good jobs. We want economic mobility. We want safe streets. We want good schools. We want affordable health care. Mm-hmm. We want our children to be safe and to have a better life than we had. And so we focus on a lot of the culture wars, the things that divide us instead of the things that unite us. But I think if we focus on the things that unite us, we can make a lot of progress. And so I think intentional commitment to that when that's possible. But also it's non-negotiable that the rule of law must be followed. Yeah. It's non-negotiable that the Constitution must be complied with. And it's only up to the Trump administration whether that's going to happen or not. We don't want him to violate the Constitution. We don't want him to violate the law. But if he does, and he has, unfortunately, we have to go to court to follow our duty to hold him accountable.
Let's wrap up with something fun, because we like to do something called personal issues on this show, where we get to know some of your cultural favorites. So this is first thing that pops into mind. It's been such a heavy time. It's been such heavy issues. So we just want to have a bit of a break for just 30 seconds.
Love it.
What's your favorite TV show you've seen recently?
Lioness.
Lioness on Paramount Plus.
Yes. Good series.
Yeah, which is about the CIA or some
clandestine CIA group that identifies and embeds an agent with that enemy and eliminates them.
Yeah. What is your
it's fiction
favorite book you've read recently?
Oh man, I've been listening to Obama's recent book with his own voice. Mm. It's long, but his thoughts, his reflections.
What have you learned from that?
It just reminded me of values-based leadership, deliberation, and working with others, collaboration, not trying to tell others what to do, but the power of listening, knowing the diversity of our great nation and delivering to each person and each community in the way that they need. I just think he represents a lot of the greatest in what leadership can be. So they're good reminders for someone like me. I'm always trying to be better. I'm always trying to improve. Part of how I grow is learning from others like Governor Newsom. President Obama has been one of my favorites for a long time.
Have you seen any of them? What's your favorite Oscar movie?
Oof, what are the ones that are nominees? Is Wicked nominated?
Wicked is nominated.
I've seen that.
Yes.
That's a fave.
Yeah. Favorite
song? Probably not on your bingo card is that Rob Bonta likes Broadway musicals.
Oh, yeah? And what are some of your favorite Broadway musicals?
Rent.
Okay.
Which I very inappropriately shared with my daughter when she was young, and she became a huge fan of the songs. I think all the content was over her head.
Yeah.
But Rent was great. Certainly Wicked among the great ones. Mamma Mia. I've taken my children to all of these, and we may or may not have sung along to them as well. But Defying Gravity, classic. Saw it in the theater, saw it with my family, and we all loved it.
Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, both nominated for Oscars as well.
As they should be, they're great.
And do you have a favorite Super Bowl commercial?
The one with the humanoid cowboy hat kind of stood out at me. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
If
it's part for Tubi, which our company owns, and yes. Issue is on Tubi, so we appreciate
the
shout-out.
Good. That's a plug, unintentional plug, but plug it is. Yeah. It just stood out. It was memorable. And if that's what a commercial is supposed to do, stick in your mind, have something that was unique and original and never done before, they accomplished it.
And what is your favorite way to relax in the midst of all this craziness?
It's ridiculous, but I spend far much too much time watching English Premier League soccer highlights.
Okay, well, we know you're a college soccer player. You're a very good soccer player. And who's your team?
Thank you. The very good part is very debatable,
yeah.
But I'm grateful that you said
it. You dominate against the other legislators every year, so at least
right.
You got that.
I'll take it. Yeah. Take what I can get these days. Yeah. Manchester United, longtime favorite, struggling, so it's very painful now, so you got to go through the dark times before you get the bright times again. But Lionel Messi, best player of all time, huge fan, now playing in Miami, was at Barcelona. Love him, got to see him live here when they played LAFC. So that was great. But Manchester United, but any English Premier League team, probably the top 10 teams are all great. Any match between them is beautiful, and you'll see me watching YouTube highlights.
Well, my favorite sports team is the LA Lakers, and so we have a very good era coming now.
Doncic.
I'm very excited about
Doncic. Very exciting.
And last question, just your bottom line message to the people of California at this moment in history.
I got your back. Your AG is fighting for you. I know there's challenges, and it's up to public servants like me to deliver on those. One of those is making sure that we honor the rule of law and that everyone who is responsible to follow the rule of law, which is all Americans, including our president, will follow it. And I'll make the tough choices, I'll make the hard choices on your behalf, and we'll tackle the problems. We see you, we value you, we hear you. Cost of living, safer streets, healthcare, housing, we see you, and we're gonna work on all those issues. And I think we're at our best when we work together, so working with our legislature, our governor, but this is a tough moment, and so for those who might see it as a dark moment, don't despair. Have hope. Have optimism. We're fighting. We're resilient. We are freaking California. Not cursing. That is an official not curse. And we will continue to be great, though there might be some challenging times ahead.
All right. Do you want to sing Defying Gravity on the way out?
I do not. I absolutely do not.
AG Rob Bonta, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. That was interesting. We learned a lot. Who knew?
Now it's out.
People will appreciate
Broadway musicals.
People will appreciate that.
Broadway Bonta.
Our thanks to Broadway Bonta, the Attorney General of California. And our thanks to you for listening to The Issue Is. Now you can go listen to the Wicked soundtrack, right? We appreciate you listening to the show this week. We hope you'll join us again next week. Feel free to send in constructive criticism of the show. Reach out to me in social media at Alex Michelson. Subscribe to our podcast. Tell other people about it. We're a little engine that could. We don't really have a lot of promo dollars, so word of mouth is the best way to get the word out on these important California issues. Thanks again for listening to The Issue Is. We'll see you next week.